This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sister Shifa or Shifa emails and says that her mother has passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And she wants to do something for her on a regular basis. And she is saying that the easiest thing for me to do is to recite the Quran. But she has been getting conflicting opinions about whether this is permissible or not. So she asks, what is the position that is the correct position with regards to reciting the Quran for her mother?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
First and foremost, my condolences for your loss. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your mother firdaus and forgives her sins and gives you and all of your loved ones sabr. Also, I'm very happy to hear actually that you want to do something regular. It really made me happy to read this phrase in your email, because all too often somebody passes away and, well, sometimes relatives do nothing and sometimes they want to do one-off, and that's good. I'm not discouraging that. But our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most beloved of all good deeds to Allah is that which is consistent and regular, even if it is small. So I was very happy to hear that you want to start something regular, to do something for your mother. And that shows, inshallah ta'ala, the love that you have for her. It shows you're a dutiful daughter, and it shows that you have a commitment, inshallah, that you will continually give back to your mother, even as she gave unto you when she was alive. So this is very good, and I love that spirit, and I ask all of us to think about when our loved ones pass on, that we do something, even if it's small, something regular for them. So that's very, very good. Now, you asked that you specifically asked you wanted to recite the Quran. However, let me just take a step back and say that obviously you can do a lot more before we get to the issue of the Quran that is explicitly mentioned in the hadith. And I have given a much more detailed lecture about this in one of the final episodes of my Barzakh series. I forgot the number, I think it is 8 or 9, I forgot, but I've given a lot of details. I went into a lot of details over every single hadith that is mentioned about what can you do for the deceased, explicitly what is mentioned. And I went over making dua for the deceased and making istighfar for the deceased, and giving charity on behalf of the deceased, and in particular building wells is also mentioned literally explicitly on behalf of the deceased, and performing hajj, and also performing umrah, and also sacrificing an animal and gifting the reward of that meat to the deceased, and also visiting the relatives and the friends of your mother or of your loved one that you would typically not visit, but you only visit because as a memory of, you know, your mother. So all of this is explicitly mentioned in the prophetic narrations. And even if you decide to go beyond this, which is, again, we're going to get to that issue, please also do these things, whatever you can do every once in a while, so that you are also doing all of this variety. Now, you are asking specifically about the issue of reciting the Quran. And the controversy, which has been a very minor controversy for Islamic history, is a legal nature controversy throughout all of Islam up until modernity. The controversy comes as follows: that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave 7, 8, 9 various things that can be done for the deceased. Sometimes he offered himself. When a man came and says, "What can I do?" He said, "Yes, make dua, make istighfar." And sometimes the person asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, I want to give charity on behalf of my mother. May I do so?" So the point is that put together, we have a list of things that are mentioned in the hadith. I hope that's clear so far. Okay? The question arises, is that list exhaustive, or is that list representative? Do you understand the difference? If that list is exhaustive, then you put a full stop and you say nothing more can be done and that's it. However, if the list is representative, then what it means is that we can look at that list And then, based upon what we see, we can add other things that are of a similar nature to what is already on the list, okay? So now, and again, I've spoken about this in a lot more detail in one of my lectures on the Barzakh. I will simply summarize because I need to also mention this concept in the Q&A series that we're doing over here. So I hope that, inshallah, if you are really interested, you can go to the more academic discussion in the Barzakh series, which is online. Now, to summarize the response, the majority of scholars from the earliest of times have considered this list to be representative and not definitive, not exhaustive. And the reasons for this are self-evident. Of them is that various people are asking different things of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time anybody asked him anything, he said yes. Now, if only that thing was allowed, then the response should have been, oh, you're only supposed to do this and not anything else. But however, every time somebody comes, one person wants to do Hajj, another person wants to build a well, another person wants to give charity, and every time somebody comes, my mother died, my father died, I want to do this, every time he says, yes, you may, yes, you may, yes, you may. So it is as if the concept of gifting one's good deeds is being affirmed, and not that the list is being made exhaustive, right? And so from this, we have from the four schools of Sunni law, from the very beginning of times, two of them have allowed basically all good deeds, and two of them attempted to restrict it, but even they in the end ended up allowing it. Therefore, the mainstream position of all four schools of Sunni law, from all of the giants of their traditions, is that it is permissible to gift the recitation of the Quran to the deceased. And this is, again, I can go over so many quotations. The Hanafi school has always allowed this from the beginning of time. Ibn Abidin writes in his Hashia that the Imam al-Kasani, one of the earliest scholars of the Hanafi madhab, died 587, that Imam al-Kasani says that it doesn't matter whether you give a gift even to the living or to the dead, and you may give intend to give the gift before you do the deed, and you may even intend to give the gift after you do the deed. It is all permissible to do. In other words, the Hanafi school basically looked at a good deed as if it is a type of currency in the eyes of Allah. And that once you have that currency, you may then choose, just like if you have money, you can give it to anybody you want. So you have a good deed that you've done, you may then gift it to anybody whom you want, living or dead, and you may make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, this umrah that I did, gift it to so-and-so. Oh Allah, this charity I gave, gift it to so-and-so. And that is your prerogative, because in the end of the day, you yourself did that deed. And the same goes for the Shafi'i school. The earlier Shafi'is were a bit strict. Imam al-Shafi'i himself, by the way, did not allow the gifting of the Quran from a fiqh perspective. However, Imam an-Nawawi comes along, 5 centuries after Imam al-Shafi'i, and said that, you know, the more prominent position is that the Quran should not be recited for the deceased. However, a group of scholars of our madhab did allow that the Quran be gifted, and this is also the position of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And this is the position also of the Darul Ifta of Egypt, which is the primarily, Shafi'i in madhab, and also the Azhari scholars of our times, and the Syrian scholars of our times, which are all Shafi'i scholars, that by and large, they are now saying that it is completely permissible to gift one's good deeds to the deceased, no problem. So this is the Shafi'i position as well. The Malikis as well, again, you find opinions on both sides. However, the majority of them allow the gifting of the recitation of the Quran and of good deeds to other people. And this is very clear. So the famous the Maliki scholar Ahmad Dardir, he writes in his Sharh Mukhtasar Khalil that Al-Mutaakhirun, the later Maliki scholar, said there is no problem in gifting the recitation of the Quran and even dhikr, and in making all of it the thawab, or the good deeds going to the deceased, and the deceased shall get the reward. And this is the position of all of the righteous people. And the famous Qurtubi scholar, Imam al-Qurtubi from Cordoba, Spain, the famous Imam al-Qurtubi, he also said that reciting the Quran, whether it is done, you know, at the graveyard or it is done afterwards, that the recitation of the Quran is going to get the thawab will go to the deceased, and giving charity, the thawab will go to the deceased, and making istighfar, all of these, the thawab or the good deeds will go to the deceased. And this is the position of the majority of the Maliki scholars, so much so that in our times this is the default. The Hanbali scholars, the irony is that they were the only group that goes from laxity to strictness. So the earlier Hanbali scholars, it is very clear that they allowed the gifting of the Qur'an. Imam Ahmad is very explicit on this point, he allowed the gifting of the Qur'an. Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, Ibn Qudama, he says that any good deed that is done can be gifted to the deceased. Any Muslim can gift any good deed to another Muslim, and inshallah ta'ala it will benefit that Muslim. And he explicitly mentions إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ, that if the Qur'an is recited over the person while he's about to pass away, or even afterwards, and the thawab is going to be gifted to him, that inshaAllah ta'ala, that we hope for him, that it is going to reach him. And he says that there is unanimous consensus of all the Muslims of every single land and of every single time frame that they would gather together and they would recite the Quran and they would intend to reward that recitation to their deceased, and nobody would criticize them for doing this. This is the famous Hanbali scholar Ibn Qudama in his book Al-Mughni. You can look this up, volume 2, page 225. And the same goes for Imam Al-Bahuti in Kashaf al-Qina'. He mentions that this is the well-known position of Imam Ahmad, that all good deeds reach the deceased, and this is something that has been done in all places and times, that people read the Quran for the deceased, and no one has said that this is incorrect. So he says this is like there is ijma', there is unanimous consensus. What is interesting is that this is also the position of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim explicitly. It is very, very clearly the position of both the giant Ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, that Ibn Taymiyyah writes, it has been affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed sadaqah and allowed fasting for the deceased, and all of these evidences are used by Imam Ahmad to allow gifting other good deeds like salah and like Quran to be given also to deceased. However, Ibn Taymiyyah then adds a very good point. He says that it should be known that it was not from the general custom of the early generations that every time they prayed, or every time they recited the Quran, or every time they fasted or the Hajj, that they would gift their deceased to their deeds to all of the deceased, or even those close to them. And the best method is to follow the early generations. In other words, what he is saying is, don't go overboard. Every time you read the Quran, you don't say give the gift to somebody else. Every time you give charity, you don't say, you know, give the gift to somebody else. That should not be done. Rather, you choose wisely. And like you say yourself, that you want to give something regularly to your mother. So every, you know, day, maybe read a few minutes of Quran for your mother and the rest for yourself, you know. So make sure you have your own good deeds as well. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he has a very lengthy passage in his famous book, Kitab al-Ruh, the book of the soul. And he actually has around 7 pages in my edition where he discusses this controversy, and he goes over all of the evidences that this is completely permissible. And he says that all of these texts, they simply prove that the rewards of any good deed reach the dead when the living does it for the dead. And this is what common sense and qiyas and analogy leads to, because the reward belongs to the one who does it. And if he gifts it, that is his right. Just like if he were to gift any money that he had to another person. In other words, again, the same philosophy, that if you've done a good deed, you've given $100, right, for the sake of Allah, that's your good deed. If you choose to gift it to somebody else, that is your prerogative. If you have recited the Quran, you want to gift it to somebody else, that is your prerogative. So this is Ibn al-Qayyim in his Kitab al-Ruh. And then he says, as for what some scholars, and what he means here is the Mu'tazila, that because the Mu'tazila did not allow this, interestingly enough, and those who prohibit it in our time should think long and hard, who exactly are they following? When Imam Ahmad and Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, and the pretty much all of the four madhabs of our times are saying this, who exactly are they following in their claims? So He explicitly mentions some of the arguments that other non-Sunni groups use, including the verse in the Quran, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that no soul shall earn anything except what it itself has done. And he mentions that, yes, the verse of course is valid. However, you know, if somebody wants to gift a good deed to another person, the only reason they would do this is because that person has benefited the one who's gifting. So it is a part of his good deeds. Why are you wanting to gift to your mother? Because she's done so much for you. So then Allah is saying, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. So your mother did something for you, now you're giving that back to her. It doesn't go against the verse that the soul is not getting except what it has done. And as for the famous hadith, that when the son of Adam dies, all of his deeds come to an end except for three. This hadith is so easily explained. It is a misunderstanding by a very, very small group of scholars who claim that they're following the Salaf, and in reality, they have gone against the unanimous consensus of the Salaf. No group before this group that exists in our times has considered it an innovation to recite the Quran and gift it to the deceased, except for some amongst that strand of those who claim to follow the Salaf. And of course, this is, as with many of their other opinions, unprecedented in Islamic history. But the claim that the hadith does not allow the gifting of good deeds, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when the son of Adam dies, then everything is cut off from his deeds except for three. This hadith is very easy to explain, because the hadith says, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ. His good deeds or her good deeds cut off. The hadith has nothing to do with a third party gifting good deeds to him. It's simply saying he can no longer accrue his own good deeds except for three things that he's done in his lifetime, that even when he's gone, then his amal will continue. The hadith has nothing to do. It simply cannot be used in the entire arena of gifting, because the hadith does not negate that a third party can gift. The hadith only says his own deeds. He's not going to pray anymore. Okay, that's very true. He's not going to get anything, you know, good from him, what he has done. That's very true. Except for the three things that even when he passes away. However, if another person gifts, then of course, that is something that has nothing to do with this particular hadith. Now, of course, our sister is saying that she's confused because she's read some online controversies in this regard. And of course, you know, I have to be fair here. Yes, there is an opinion which is unprecedented in Islamic history, as I said. So the Permanent Committee of Scholars of Saudi Arabia, in its fatwa number 2232, they said that it is prohibited to recite the Quran for the deceased, and that it does not reach the dead, and that in fact to do so it is a bid'ah, or this is an innovation. And Shaykh Al-Albani, Allah yarhamu, he also said that it is only allowed for the children of the deceased to gift Quran to the parents. Otherwise, no one else can gift to the deceased. And that's based upon his own, what is called Zahiri or literalist usul, that he did not allow anybody outside of the children to do so. So, and this is the position also of other great ulama. We love and respect them. There's not meant at all to denigrate them. Some of them are my teachers. I love them immensely. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen and others, I love them immensely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the truth is more beloved to us than any individual. And the fact of the matter is that I am not aware of any scholar pre this movement claiming that reciting the Quran for the deceased is an innovation in and of itself. True, some scholars said it doesn't reach the dead. And that's Imam al-Shafi'i said this, but he did not call it an innovation. It was a fiqh issue for him. It was a legal issue. And for this movement to make it a theological one, there is no basis for this. It is a legal issue. It has nothing to do with the aspects of aqidah, much less aspects of bid'ah. And in fact, as I said, all four schools of law have accepted this, except for this one strand that is very prominent in our times, and has a position that it's there, and if you choose to follow it, then that's your prerogative, and you can do the other things. But I think it is patently clear that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard about gifting to the deceased, that it is not restrictive, rather it is indicative, that essentially the Prophet is allowing the gifting of good deeds to the deceased because it is your prerogative, it's your good deed. However, Ibn Taymiyyah does have a very interesting point, and I think that that should be followed, and that is that we don't just go around gifting every single deed that we do. That doesn't make any sense. Every single time we open up the Quran, we finish reciting it, we gift it to somebody else, well then what is going to be left for you? Because do realize a very good point, a very interesting point, you need to understand this, dear brothers and sisters. The concept of gifting a good deed is literally like gifting money to somebody. Good deeds is the currency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you gave your money to everybody else, what would you have left for yourself? So when we gift to our mother, deceased parent, when we gift to our father, when we gift to an uncle, when we gift to anybody who's moved on in this world, and we gift them a good deed, we expect Allah to reward us more for the gift. But technically, the gift itself is no longer in our possession. I hope you understand that point, right? Technically, if you read a juz of the Quran, and you shut the mushaf, and you said, oh Allah, give the reward of this recitation to my deceased mother. Excellent. You have taken all of that reward, and you have gifted it to your mother, and you want Allah to give you something different, and inshallah, better for you, than this recitation. But technically, that recitation is not yours anymore. Now, can Allah give you the gift of that recitation and more? Of course He can. Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. But technically, the point is that you've gifted it to somebody else. Therefore, as Ibn Taymiyyah says, this is not something that is done for each and every gift, for each and every good deed. You choose every once in a while, you do something for somebody else. Okay, no problem. But the concept of just gifting indiscriminately, it should not be that, oh Allah, give the recitation to every single Muslim in the world. That's not the point. The point, it's a very, would you just take your bank account and just throw it in the streets for everybody? No, it's precious to you. Your good deeds are precious to you. You only give them to somebody who is more precious to you than those good deeds. Somebody who's impacted you more than, you know, in a way that you need to repay. And that's why, you know, your parents are obviously the first that come to mind, or if anybody has helped you in a way that you need to repay them in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, choose this wisely, who you give to, and what you give to, and how often you gift, choose it wisely. And also, my position is that it is completely permissible to gift the Qur'an. Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim says this, and really, those people who claim to be following these scholars, really, they need to think long and hard, not just about this one issue, but in reality, much of their fiqh and even aspects of their theology, they need to rethink through, because they have broken away from the actual Salaf and the mainstream scholars of Islam. This is the accusation that was made against them. It is somewhat true. But so my position is that it is allowed to gift the Qur'an to the deceased. All of that having been said, 2 points to conclude. Number one, if you gift the Qur'an, excellent, but make sure you also do the things that are mentioned in the hadith. Hajj, Umrah, Dua, Istighfar, Sadaqah, Udhiyah, building wells. Try to do all of those as well. And then do other things as well. And then point number two, that I didn't discuss in this Q&A because we don't have time for that, the issues that are surrounding the mechanisms of gifting, right? So the issue of, you know, having particular customs or particular festivals or congregational issues of everybody coming together, that opens up another gray area. And indeed, you know, we just quoted Ibn Qudama, who actually explicitly says that people would come together and recite the Quran. So all of these, that's another discussion altogether. I would say that the more specific we try to make these rituals, the more problematic it becomes. Keep it generic, keep it open, keep it private is even better. But if people are coming together and gifting, you know, the recitation of the Quran in and of itself, it should not be made a big deal. As Ibn Qudama himself mentions, that people would do this without any controversy. At the same time, the best method to follow is indeed the method of the earliest generations. And if we don't have any specific days or specific routines to do this, it is definitely safer and will avoid any controversy. Nonetheless, if a person, a family that is bereaving, does have a day that people are going to come to read the Quran without anything extravagant taking place, without anything that is clearly un-Islamic taking place, then this has been the practice and the custom of the bulk of the ummah, as these scholars have said, in all centuries and in all places. And it is something that in and of itself, even if I don't encourage it, I do not find any reason to problematize it as well. If it is done in a manner that is simply reading the Quran and that's it, then we let it be and don't make any controversy. Wallahi, somebody's passed away. It's not the time to implement your version of what you think is the sunnah. Nothing wrong is going on. At the end of the day, people are coming together to read the Quran. I mean, subhanAllah. I mean, even if you disagree, you don't have to go. If you really feel that way, you don't have to go. But you don't have to cause a controversy at this point in time, because again, it's only a very, very, very small group of modern scholars who have problematized this. Otherwise, their own predecessors of the Hanbali tradition did not problematize this, of the Maliki tradition, of the Hanafi tradition. All of these great scholars, we find explicit quotes in this regard. So those that are doing these Quran readings for the deceased, they have lots of precedents in early Islam. They have great ulama that they are quoting, and they have the practice of the ummah. As Ibn Qudama says, without any nakir, without any criticism, people in every asr and misr, every land and every place are doing this, and it is the accepted custom. Bahuti says it is as if there is ijma' on this issue that it is permissible. So respect them. And if you have a different position, you may respect yourself and your own opinion by not participating in that matter and following your own position. But understand that the positions of the ulama have been different than what you are adopting, and agree to disagree in this regard. In the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we ask Allah for hidayah and tawfiq. And with that, we come to the conclusion of today's Q&A. I will see you inshallah ta'ala all next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون